If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This month, the Finance Committee will meet Monday, July 24th at 4:30 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, July 20th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and your permaculture radio. Just waiting to say that. At 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM. Everywhere. And here it is with radio that once you hear something, you can't unhear it. That's powerful. That is a powerful media weapon. I'll go ahead and say that because, you know, in these times, right? In these times, weather for today, it's sunny skies, highs around 81. And not much wind for tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 61. Tomorrow, maybe we could get a little rain. And we also, it has been suggested on various weather sites that we could get a little sprinkle today. Speaking of sprinkles, we'll be talking more about some of the things that Donald Trump hopes won't be revealed and the investigations of people around him and around Russia. It's an interesting Venn diagram where various territories overlap is going to be fascinating to watch. I think there's a lot more there than we have even dared to think thus far. Jeff Sessions is now on Trump's list of enemies. That's a little odd. That's a little scary. Doesn't that put a little bit of a damper on the ongoing investigations, which Trump continues to insist are not investigating him? But that's the question, is how much support does Trump really have right now among the powerful? And I think that the powerful are only beginning to wake up and remember that they do wield a little power, and that Donald Trump is taking down the American government. Whatever one thinks of the American government, and however much one might believe that it ought to be, if not taken down, certainly rewritten, even so, nobody wants Trump or his associates to be the guys who do it. And I should go ahead and say it, the guys that do it. Look at these people. I've seen a whole lot of pasty white faces on the news these days. And again, the media, why do we always get Trump news first? You put on any radio anywhere, and it's going to be, if not Trump himself, about one of his associates, i.e. Jeff Sessions, bingo. And this business about Russian adoptions, maybe Trump should have considered, instead of marrying her, maybe he should have just adopted Melania. That would have solved a few problems and stirred up a few more. On the subject of problems, it turns out now, if one supports the boycott against Israel, which, let me just draw a line here, no one is saying anything bad about Israelis, okay? We're not talking about this. This is definitely not going to be anti-Semitic. But the actions, you can care a lot about a person, but you might not like their actions. It's an old dog of an adage. And once in a while, it's worth ruffling its fur once in a while. And while is here, right now, and right here. And to talk about the criminalization, I'm talking felony. This is not a misdemeanor. This is a felony, simply for supporting a boycott against Israel, because its actions are criminal. We are alone in the world community in our ardent support for Israeli policies. Josh, good morning. I'm so happy to have you with us today. Josh Rubner is our guest today, everybody. We could not be happier to talk about this. Good morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, this is really something. And I of course, the first thing when I saw the news, was it like 43? I look down and I see, oh yes, and among these are some Democrats. I'm thinking, let's see, is there a Democratic senator that we know fairly closely associated with the state of Oregon that might be on that list? Yes, hey ho, none other than our own Ron Wyden is supporting this, the criminalization of the support for the boycott. Now, really, and shame on everybody that's on that, the list of those who are behind this. How did this, what kind of, I thought these people were busy with the Russians and whatnot. How come they've got time to come up with this?
Well, to give you a little bit of background, this was a bill that was introduced in coordination with the annual policy conference of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee back in March of this year, and it was introduced by a Democrat, Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, and you're right, it has attracted some Democratic support. It's attracted mostly Republican support, however. But to give your listeners just a little bit of overview about the bill, it's the Israel Anti-Boycott Act, and as you said, it would criminalize the act of boycotting Israel or even Israeli settlement products. And it could wind you with a jail term of up to 20 years and $1 million fine. The way that the legislation is written would make it probable that it would only apply to businesses and corporations. But as the ACLU noted in its letter in opposition to this bill, it could impose criminal penalties as well on individuals who are making a moral decision not to support Israel or its illegal settlements.
So this is a bill that is in it, and it's been in the works for a while. We understand that. What are its chances? I mean, nothing like this. This is simply refer back to Trump's remarks on Comey, but is this grandstanding? Why now? There's always a reason. We always say if you see a tortoise on a fence post, it didn't get there by accident. So I'm curious about the timing of this, and I'm curious too about the way that fear in the United States of America in 2017, the way fear is used as an instrument of terror against the American people, lest they take it to their heads to rise up and really show the world what resistance looks like.
Well, what we've seen over the past few years especially is the growth and the ongoing momentum of the Palestinian civil society-led call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaigns as a way to change the government of Israel's policies of oppression toward the Palestinians and to end those policies of oppression. And this global BDS movement has been resonating all over the world. And here in the United States as well, I'm sure your listeners are aware of the fact that recently in Portland, a very strong grassroots coalition came together to press the city council to divest from U.S. corporations that were complicit in Israel's human rights abuses of Palestinians. And then the city council wound up going one further to ban all city investments in corporations whole scale. So, you know, these types of grassroots movements are really succeeding, and it's really scaring Israel's supporters because what they're seeing right now is the type of victories that powered and enabled the anti-apartheid global movement in the case of South Africa to really move from these civil society victories to actually changing governmental policies which supported the apartheid government of South Africa. So because the Israel lobby cannot defend Israel on its merits because its policies towards the Palestinians are becoming more and more indefensible to larger and larger swaths of Americans and people all over the world, what they've done is to engage in a very top-down, heavy-handed strategy to try to legislate against BDS and to try to impose penalties, up to now, financial penalties against companies that engage in BDS, for example, by denying them the right to engage in state contracting at the state level. But now this bill by Senator Cardin goes one step further and could actually impose criminal penalties on those who are engaging in BDS. So it's really an act of desperation, I think, on the part of the Israel lobby to be mobilizing in support of a bill which so dramatically and fundamentally stands against the First Amendment and the historic use over the centuries of utilizing boycotts in this country as a means, a legitimate means, to achieve political change.
And still, I still can't help wondering, cui bono, who's going to, who's really benefiting from this? Of course, you know, I guess AIPAC, but why would it? It's a disturbing symptom of a very, very sick nation, America. In these times, I guess, is the rest of the world is looking at America in awe and disgust in some quarters. Just a final thoughts on this, because it is really to see this otherwise pretty decent Democratic senators signed on to this, the criminalization of opposition in the United States. That's criminal, isn't it? I don't get it. Just your final before we let you have to let you go because of time. How do you want to leave this? What do you want people to hear from all of it?
Americans who are outraged by the idea of the government telling us what we can and cannot boycott need to contact their senators, need to contact their representatives, and you can do so by going to the website of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, uscpr.org.
Thank you so much, Josh. We're so happy to have you with us today. My guest, of course, has been Josh Rubner. He is the National Advocacy Director of the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. He's an author of many books. Many of you have heard him before, Cascadia, and he is a voice of change, of support, and of reason in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So thank you so much for that, Josh.